Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org. Today, we are starting the season of Advent here at the parish. We didn't meet last week, and so today begins our season of Advent. Does anyone know what the word Advent means? Anybody know? Pop quiz? Anybody? What'd you say? Coming. Yes, it means the arrival. It means someone is coming. Someone is around the corner. If you've heard this, well, it's the Advent of the holiday season. This is Advent. The simple word means that Jesus is coming. And so in Advent, it's actually not Christmas yet. We're actually not celebrating Christmas yet. We didn't do any Christmas songs today. What's up with that? Because it's not Christmas yet. It's Advent. It's a season of waiting. It's a season of anticipating the fact that Jesus is coming. And it's not thinking about the baby Jesus so much. We're not just waiting, counting down the days to December 25th when we remember the baby Jesus is coming. It's remembering that Jesus himself is going to come again. We're actually looking forward. We look back and remember that the days when people waited for Jesus, but we also look forward and we remember that Jesus is coming and we fill with hope and expectation. I'm going to put this on in just a moment when we take communion. This is a stole, which as we've said before, is just a reminder of the towel that Jesus used when he washed his disciples' feet. And so the color now has changed if you've been here before, and we're in a purple season. Advent is in a purple season. And the purple seasons remind us of when Jesus was on his way to the cross and he wore that robe and the crown of thorns, because purple is a difficult season. Purple is a season of fasting. Purple is a season where we ask the Lord to prepare our hearts. And there's some hard work. There's difficult things to be done. Doesn't mean that it has to be terrible. Doesn't mean that we have to beat ourselves up. But it's not necessarily the happy, chipper, wonderful, frenetic, frantic pace that we see when we look out at the rest of the world. Advent is a period of waiting. It's a period of making space to wait. Our story from Luke's gospel is a story of waiting. When John the Baptist arrived on the scene, he didn't just show up in the middle of nowhere. He showed up in the middle of a culture that was completely surrounded by waiting. Everyone in that culture was waiting. Their parents had been waiting. Their grandparents had been waiting. Their great-grandparents had been waiting for hundreds of years. They had been waiting, believing, hoping that one day God was going to send a deliverer. And one day, God was going to set their little world back to rights, and that Rome would be kicked out, and the new temple would be built, and it would be just as wonderful as before, and God would re-inhabit his presence with these people. That's what they were waiting for. And it's hard for us sometimes to remember that because we're not ancient Jewish people. We don't understand that. We don't get that sense of angst and that sense of anticipation. But I think we all understand what it means to wait, don't we? When I was writing this sermon, it was about 6 weeks ago. And so we were 2 weeks away from having our baby, Lucy. So my wife was 9.5 months pregnant. We were going absolutely crazy. We had made every preparation you could make. The bags were packed. The cars were cleaned. The house was cleaned top to bottom. Everything in the nursery was prim and proper and ready to go. We had the little bassinet ready next to our bed. Everything was ready. There's no baby. We're still waiting. We're just waiting and waiting and waiting. Shannon Ott said this to us, which I think is the perfect depiction of this. When you're in that moment and you're waiting for a baby, it's like you're trying to pick someone up at the airport, but you've never seen them before and you don't know what time they're arriving. Like, you just stand there. They could arrive 6 weeks from now. You don't know. You just have to stand there with a sheet of paper and say, well, one day, someone who I don't know will show up. And that's what that period of waiting was like for me. We've got a lot of people in the room who have either been waiting for babies or you are waiting for a baby. It's a difficult season. And even if you're not waiting for a baby, you know what it's like to wait. In fact, in our culture today, there's entire businesses and industries built on trying to make sure that you don't have to wait. Have you noticed that? It's everywhere. Everybody's trying to tap into this market. If we can make people wait a little bit less, they'll be happier. So now, when you call your cable company, instead of waiting for an hour, they'll say, well, we'll just call you back whenever you're next in line. And I say, thank the Lord. Yes, I'll take that. And then at Starbucks now, you don't even have to wait in line anymore, because that was such an inconvenience. You don't have to wait in line. You can go through the drive-thru. And then now, you don't even have to go through the drive-thru, because that was such an inconvenience. You can just order it on your phone and walk in the door and grab it and walk straight out. Have you done that? Anybody done that? It's very convenient, but it makes me wonder, how much time are we shaving off here? And then if you want something from Amazon, anybody Amazon Prime members? Amen. Oh my gosh, look at that. That's crazy. So it used to be 5 days. Now it's 2 days. You can get it in 1 day. You can get it on Saturday. You can get it on Sunday. And soon there's going to be drones flying all over the place, dropping off packages the day you order something. We don't want to wait. Nobody wants to wait. Our whole culture is aimed towards, please do not make us wait. But at the end of the day, that's what makes this season of Advent so beautiful and so important. Because when we walk out of this room and we go to a mall, have you been to a mall yet? It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. I know some of you work in retail, and I pray for you. It is terrible. It's awful. It's frantic. People are not very kind. It's so busy. It's so slammed, and everything is catered around getting you to buy one more thing or get that one last thing. Don't forget. And so when we go out into that world, we're just bombarded with busyness. And it clouds our vision, and it clouds our thinking, and it stops us from realizing that at the end of the day, we really are waiting for something. Every single one of us is waiting for something. We can forget about that, and we can numb ourselves to that if we just kind of go out and get in the craziness of the Christmas spirit. But Advent, when we walk in these doors, when we light these candles, when you sit around your dinner table with your family, maybe you have an Advent wreath at home, when we light these candles, it forces us to slow down. And remember that, wait a minute, we actually are waiting for something. Even though we don't want to think about it, even though we want to gloss over it, we really are waiting for something. And although we're all waiting for something different, we're actually all waiting for the very same thing. So some of you in here today, what you're waiting for, what the longing that's deep in your heart, is that there's someone that you've lost recently. And you're still hurting and grieving, and you wish that that would change. You're waiting for that season to shift and to get to a better place. For someone, it's a relationship that hasn't come along, that you've been praying for and hoping for and telling people to pray for you about, and it's just not coming. And you're wondering why it's not coming. For some of you, it's a child. For some of you, it's a child that's not coming. For some of you, it's a job that you're waiting to happen, or it's a change of job that you're waiting to happen, or a check, or a provision, or a relationship that's been fractured, and you wish and you pray and wait that God would restore it somehow. Or maybe it's someone that you're trying to give them wisdom, they're about to head over a cliff and it's not happening, they're not changing course, and you're just waiting, God, would you please, please do something. Every single one of us has something that we're waiting on. For some of us, it's a habit or an addiction that we can't seem to break. It's just plaguing us in our lives, and we want it to change, but it's not changing. For some of us, it's anxiety or depression, just deep, deep issues that we wrestle with, and we go, God, I want this to be different. I don't want this to be who I am, and we're waiting for God to change it. We all have something we're waiting on, and it's different for every single one of us, but it's all the same. At the end of the day, if you take that thing that you're waiting on and you really boil it down and you spend the time wrestling with it in prayer, what you'll realize is that we're all waiting for Jesus. That sounds like so, you know, like preschool, Sunday school answer, like Jesus, wonderful. No, we really are. Every single one of us is waiting for Jesus. Because at the end of the day, what we pray and what we say on these walls over here is true. That we believe that Christ has died and Christ is risen. But we're longing for the day when Christ will come again. And he's not just going to come again with fire and to judge everyone and split everybody up. He's going to come again to make the world right again. And to take these places of brokenness and hurt and longing and pain and set them back to the way that they're supposed to be. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Whether you know it or not, that's what you're really longing for. A few weeks ago, we read in Revelation 21, the end of the story, what the very end of the story is going to look like. And it looks like this. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. At the end of the day, whatever it is you're longing for deeply, it's that you want the old order of things to pass away, and you want Jesus to come and to bring his kingdom and to make it right. After this, God himself speaks and he says, "Behold, I am making everything new." That's what we want. That's the longing in our souls. We want God to come and make everything new. And the good news is that we believe it's going to happen. One day, Jesus will come and he will make all things new. And all the pain and all the troubles of this world, we will understand and see the beautiful picture of God's redemption throughout history. But there's even better news today. There's even better news than that. Because not only do we believe that Christ will come again one day, but we believe that Christ can come again even now. That he can show up and he can break into our daily life and our daily reality in really powerful ways. If we wait, if we expect him to come, if we're looking for him, then we'll see Jesus show up in ways that we could never even imagine all around us. His kingdom pops up in the most unexpected places. It starts in our hearts. It begins with God replacing our brokenness with his righteousness, little by little. And our fear begins to give way to his peace, and our anger turns into his love. And he saves us every single day. He continually brings our lives closer and closer to the pattern, to the way that he actually made us to be. And as he does that, as he breaks chains of addiction, as he breaks these patterns of selfishness and replaces those things with his love, then that love flows through us to the world around us, and we begin seeing God's kingdom make people's lives new all around us. And every time we see love triumph over hatred, that's Jesus coming now. Every time we see gentleness replace power, that's Jesus coming in the here and now. When the humble serve the proud, that's Jesus showing up and making things new. See, Christ has died, and Christ is risen, and Christ will come again and again and again and again and again every single day of our lives if we're willing to wait and watch for him and see where he's at work. And so now Advent for us doesn't just become a season where we beat ourselves up or we just think, God, what do we need to make right in our lives? It's a season of hope. It's a season where we can look ahead and we can say, no, I believe that's true. I believe that Jesus will come again, and I believe that he can come again today in my life and he can begin to set things right. That's a hope. That's not just a wish and a prayer. It's deep. It's rooted. It has truth to it. And in the midst of our waiting, whatever it is that we're waiting on, we can look to him and cry out this simple prayer, come, Lord Jesus. If you need a prayer to pray over the next few weeks, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but some people call it little breath prayers, little things that you can pray in the midst of difficult situations. Some of you pray breath prayers in your car, but they're not great. They're like words that I can't mention right now. I do it too. But this is a breath prayer that I want to give you for these next few weeks, that when you find yourself in a place where you're just stuck and you're waiting and you're wanting things to be different, just pray over and over again, come, Lord Jesus, come. Would you come? Would you set my heart right? Would you make something change that I can't make change? Would you come, Lord Jesus? And so what do? While we wait, while we're praying these prayers, what do? John the Baptist tells us the answer in the passage that Emily read. He quotes this prophecy from Isaiah, and he says that it's time for us to prepare the way for the Lord. Do you remember that? John said that. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make the path straight. Fill up the valleys. Level the mountains. What's he talking about there? In the days when Luke wrote in the ancient Near East, there were kings that would live hundreds and hundreds of miles away, and most people never saw them. You would never, ever see the king. It's not like the president coming to town. There wasn't CNN. You would never see this king that was supposedly in charge. But every once in a while, the king would come to town. And when he did, he would send a herald out weeks or months in advance, and the herald would show up and say, guys, get ready. The king is on his way. He's coming. Here's the date that he's coming. Here's the date that he's arriving. And all of a sudden, the entire town would mobilize and begin to prepare. And they would literally level the roads because they knew that the king's chariot was coming through and they wanted it to be a pleasant journey. And they would make the path straight. They would reorganize the way that their cities were laid out. And they would make sure that that king had a clear path to come through their town. They were preparing the way for their Lord. And so when John says that, that's what he means in our hearts. This season is a time for us to prepare the way. It's a time for us to do some road work. It's a time for us to begin to prepare for Christ to come in our lives. And how do we do that? Not by putting up billboards, okay? We don't start there. This is not us putting up giant billboards that say, prepare the way, Jesus is coming, you're all gonna die. That's not what we do, okay? What we're called to do is to prepare the way in our own hearts and in our own lives, and start there. And begin asking the Lord, what is it that you want to do in me? And here's where I think we should start over the next 3 weeks as we've prayed about this and thought about this season of waiting. Perhaps the place we need to start is just to simply offer our longing up to God, what it is that we're waiting for, and just ask him that simple prayer, come, Lord Jesus. Maybe we just need to be honest today. Just be honest about what it is that we're waiting for. Maybe you've never been honest about that with yourself or with anybody else. And it's been sitting in the back of your mind and it's been wrecking your thoughts. But at the end of the day, you don't really want to pay attention to it. Today, it's time to pay attention to it. And just lay it out in front of God and say, look, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you're up to. But this is what I'm longing for. And all I'm going to say is, come, Lord Jesus. Please, come, Lord Jesus. That's our first step in the process, just to admit what we're waiting for. What do you wish was true? What is it that you deeply in your soul wish was true? Not just, I wish I had $1 million. What is it that you deeply long for in the depths of your heart? What is it that you want Christ to make new? A relationship, a provision, a job, for God to remove an addiction, for a sin that you can't shake? What is it that God, that you really, really desire for God to change?